You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's latest novel, Americana, examines the lives of Nigerian immigrants in the United States and Europe, what propels them to leave their country and then sometimes to return. She's been the recipient of numerous awards, and this new book has been receiving glowing reviews. It's published by Knopf, and I'm very pleased it has brought Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie back to our show. Hello.
Hello.
Your previous novel, Half of a Yellow Sun, which won the Orange Prize, was set in Nigeria during the Biafran War and involved a lot of Nigerian history. With this book, did you set out to write a more personal story, more of a love story than a political one?
Maybe more of a love story than a political one, but I don't know about personal. It's because it's the book that most closely narrows my own life. I think it's very easy to read it as my story, but it's really not. It's really not. I wanted to write about America. I wanted to write a book that would make people laugh, because I laughed quite a bit when I was working on it. So it's quite different from the much darker Half of a Yellow Sun.
Well, you say it parallels your life. In other words, you used some of the places that you lived in,
yes,
as settings here, but we should not assume that this is your story.
No.
It takes on some very large issues, despite the fact that it's a love story: race, class, national identity. Were you aiming for a combination of the universal and the personal?
I think all writers do, don't they? I hope. When I was growing up, I read all of these books set in Russia, and there was something about them. I didn't get everything, but I love them. And so I think I was fascinated by the specific singularities of Russian life, but also just the, yeah. So I'm hoping that my book does the same thing.
Well, you know, when you read a Dostoevsky character walking along the Nevsky Prospect, it doesn't mean anything unless you've been to the Nevsky Prospect. And yet at the same time, we've all walked along a river,
yes,
at one point or another in our,
yes,
lives. This novel follows Ifemelu and Obinze. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, I'm very impressed.
They meet and fall in love in high school, then immigrate to different parts of the world, meet other people, but eventually both return to Nigeria. Is this a common story in Nigeria, people leaving for many years and then returning?
It is becoming, yes. I mean, lots of people left Nigeria 20 years ago during the military dictatorship. And what's happening in the past, I would say, 6-7 years, is people are moving back. I mean, the more cynical...
Well, it isn't exactly a democracy these days.
It is, of sorts. It's a democracy of sorts. Nigeria is much, much better. You can't even begin to compare what it is now to what it used to be.
Although, if you live in certain parts of the country, it can be rather dangerous, as we are seeing with martial law imposed in the north.
Yes, that is true. Northern Nigeria is, in many ways, under siege, actually. But in some ways, Nigeria is quite... I mean, the south is so different from the north, and...
And that's where you're from?
I'm from southern Nigeria, yes.
What has been called Biafra, the at least try to be a country in itself, and also,
yes,
Lagos, the capital.
Yes.
And it's split along religion as well, isn't it? The north tends to be more Muslim and the,
yes,
south more Christian.
Yes. I mean, in general. I mean, the pockets of Christians in the north and Muslims in the south, but in general, yes.
Ifemelu gets a scholarship to study in the United States and spends 13 years here before deciding to return. How much? So did you spend 13 years here before you decided to return? I mean, you also have a fellowship in Princeton, studying in Philadelphia.
It's easy to write about what you know well. I can write about what I know with authority, and you know, because I lived in Princeton, I can write about it. I lived in Philadelphia. No, I didn't. I spent 4 years in the U.S. before I went back, and I went back and I spent some time in Nigeria. Then I came back to the U.S., and so I've been doing back and forth.
Now, they had both planned to leave. Obinze wasn't able to get a visa to the United States. He went to London instead for a time and then returned to Nigeria and became rich.
Yes, he became rich, as many young men did when we had the transfer to democracy, because suddenly things were, you know, it's sort of, in some ways, it's that structures that have existed for so long are falling apart, and there are people there who benefit from that. And he happens to be one of those people.
But it's a lot easier to go to England if you want to leave Nigeria?
It's become easier, yes. I think since 9/11, particularly for young men, when you go to the American Embassy in Nigeria and you're a man between the ages of 18 and 45, I think, you have to fill out different forms, and you just kind of know that it's going to be very difficult to get a visa.
Although he isn't successful in England, he has to return to Nigeria. Would you say that the central question of this novel, was this what was in your mind when you started writing it, whether they will reconnect romantically?
Yes. I mean, I wanted to write about a number of things. And we should also say that Obinze was in love with America. So Obinze idolized and idealized America and desperately wanted to come. He'd read the books. He loved American culture. And then he couldn't get a visa. And I think it broke his heart in a way. And then he kind of stopped loving.
Is that typical? I had a friend who lived in Buenos Aires, and he told me he had been born in Croatia and then had gone to Buenos Aires. He said, but all we ever thought about was going north to the United States. Mm.
America's enormous cultural power, I think, is really incredible. And it's something that's, for my father's generation, it wasn't so. My father's generation was very much focused in England. This was where, you know, this was what civilization meant for the educated Nigerian. England was the ultimate thing. For my generation, it's America. So I grew up watching Sesame Street in a small university town in southeastern Nigeria. But while I very much liked America, I didn't share Obinze's idealized obsession with America.
Well, for many people who grew up in the British Commonwealth, their whole sense of culture really was determined by the books that they read that had come from England.
Yes, as mine was. When I started reading all of these British books for children when I was growing up, and you know, I fell in love with things such as ginger beer and cucumber sandwiches, none of which I knew what they were, but I had read about them in these books.
Someday you would have them.
Yes, and I would, of course, be terribly disappointed.
Was there a time when you thought you might spend the rest of your life in the United States? Or did you always know that you'd go back?
Yes, I never thought I would spend, and I'm not. And I often say that America is a country I very much like and I feel grateful to. And in some ways it's like a rich uncle who gives me pocket money but doesn't know my name. But it's not mine. Nigeria is truly home.
Still, you spend half the year here in Maryland because you teach there?
No, because I happen to have a part-time home there. Because it's nice to have regular electricity and very fast internet.
And you don't have a regular electricity in Lagos?
In Lagos, I do, but with a generator. So you have to pay for, you know, diesel costs money. So it's just nice not to have to think about diesel.
Which is sad because Nigeria is a major oil producer.
It is.
You think that the diesel would be cheap.
It's one of the ironies of our country, yeah.
The book opens with Ifemela taking the train from Princeton to Trenton to have her hair braided just before she is due to return to Nigeria. Why is it important for her to have it done before she goes back? Couldn't she have it done back home?
Yeah, but she's going back home after 13 years. It's important to appear well turned out. She has to be well groomed. She hasn't been back in 13 years. She doesn't know what to expect, so she wants to have it all together.
And she has to go to Trenton, which has a large black population.
Yeah, because there are no African hair braiding salons in Princeton. I can tell you that. I looked.
Well, many reviewers have remarked that this book is as much about hair as it is about race or national identity. Do you see them as closely related?
That's interesting. I suppose so, yes. I think in the U.S. that race and hair, I think, are quite closely related. I think the idea of you know, black women's hair is such a thing, right?
Well, for a long time, most of the black women I knew had their hair straightened. You don't see that much anymore.
Really?
Maybe
New York City you don't, but really, it's still very much the norm. And so I like to joke about, imagine if Michelle Obama went natural and suddenly sort of appeared with a big afro. What would happen?
Do you think that people would hate the Obamas even more? The people who hate the Obamas would hate them even more?
Yes, of course. They'd be like, oh my God, this means something. Her hair is an afro. She's a Black Panther.
My guest is Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, whose latest book is called Americana. And who is an Americana?
An Americana is a person who's been to the U.S. and who returns with affectations. So there are people when I was growing up who would go to the U.S. for the summer and come back and suddenly pretend not to understand Igbo and suddenly have this very fake American accent, which often meant just adding an R to every word they spoke, because this was how. And so we would tease them. So there's something very playful about that word. It's sort of, you know, it's half mocking, it's playful, it's
On the other hand, I've spoken to a number of African-Americans who knew that their roots were in Nigeria, but they were, obviously they were second or third generation here or had been brought over during the slave trade. And when they went to Nigeria, they expected to be greeted with open arms as returning Nigerians. Instead, they were Americans.
Yeah,
so although, this cuts both ways.
It does. It does. I think African Americans are very popular in Nigeria, but not Nigerians see them as sort of. In some ways, it's like our brothers three times removed, because you know they are Americans. We just happen to have a history before the slave ships.
So, is a hairstyle a political statement?
It can be. I think it can be, very much so.
Well, yes. The hair braiding session, which lasts 6 hours in this book, is woven through. In fact, it's woven throughout the novel, no pun intended, and it involves women from other African countries like Mali and Senegal. Are there different hair braiding styles in different parts of Africa?
Yes, and I must say with my casual Nigerian arrogance that Nigerian braiders are the best. Senegalese braiders are too, it's too tight. The braiding is too tight. And Mali, they're sort of okay. Guinea, too, is fine.
Well, barbershops have often been described as a place where people learn about each other. Mm-hmm. Is a hair salon a way to examine how immigrants from different African countries relate to each other in this country?
It can be. It can be. For me, at least I think it is for me, I'm very curious about people. And when I go to get my hair braided, as I did just 2 days ago in Maryland, and it was done by a woman from Senegal, and I was just watching, and they're mostly Francophone. And there's a wonderful power dynamic thing going on there. It's also interesting to see how they relate to me as a Nigerian who's Anglophone, and how they relate to an African American woman, and how they relate to the rare white woman who has the bravery to venture in there to get her hair done in cornrows. So it's very interesting to observe that.
But we're talking about West Africa in all cases, aren't we?
But there are quite a few differences. And I think there's a huge difference between Anglophone and Francophone. There is quite a difference it's not just language, but language means many other things.
Well, that's what happened in Cameroon when they merged the French and the English Cameroons. There were real problems.
Yes.
And it had nothing to do with tribalism. It had to do with language.
It really did. It really did. It really, you know, if you have two different areas that have been ruled, so to speak, differently, and then you suddenly say to them, oh, now you're one country, it's...
The Malian hair braider wants Ifemelu to tell her Igbo boyfriend that it's okay for him to marry her even though she's not Igbo. Did something like that happen to you? Did you actually have that experience?
It's one of those really strange things that it just has to be true. It actually did happen. I went to get my hair braided and this woman, she said, you're Nigerian? And I said, yes. And usually what happens, people want to talk to me about Nollywood, which is Nigerian. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to talk to me about her Igbo boyfriend. And then she said, I want him to marry me. He doesn't want to marry me because I'm not Igbo, so I want you to talk to him. And I thought, okay, let's all take a deep breath.
She had two boyfriends who were Igbo.
And it was one of those moments where I thought, this is not happening. She was completely serious, to the point where I was slightly afraid because she kept saying, no, you have to talk to them. You have to tell them that it's okay to marry me. And I said, do you want to marry both of them? And she said, no, I can marry anyone. I just want to marry. Unfortunately for me, the hair braiding session ended before any of the boyfriends could arrive. And so I left hastily.
So are Igbo men considered a good catch?
Well, she thought so, which I found surprising. No, they actually are. They are. In general, I think the stereotype of Igbo men as husbands is that they take care of women, which for me as a fierce feminist is a bit worrying.
Well, they're showing Nigerian Nollywood DVDs in the hair salon. So it used to be Senegal was the cultural center of West Africa. Now it is Nigeria.
It is. And even more interesting, it's Nollywood is homegrown. There's something just wonderfully scrappy about Nollywood. You know, these people making these films from nothing, really, in the way that the Senegalese films were often, you know, well-funded, very French-focused. Nollywood is wonderfully just grassrootsy, scrappily great.
Although Sembin is still the greatest African filmmaker.
I love Sembin, but I think his work is very different from Nollywood. You know, Sembin, I think, is really one of the best filmmakers ever.
Ifemelu writes a popular blog on race called Race Teenth, or Various Observations About American Blacks those formerly known as Negroes by a non-American black. Quite a mouthful. Is this something that you could have imagined yourself doing rather than writing novels?
I'm not sure I would have been good at it, but...
But you gave you a chance to, with the blog post to record your observations about the United States.
Yes, yes. I mean, I had so much fun. I would stop and laugh when I was writing these blog posts, and then I would start to worry, and I would think, is it a good thing to be so amused by your own humor? I thought, you know, is this a bad sign? Why am I? But really, it was me wanting to write about something serious, I think, with races. But to kind of poke fun at it, because there's so much that's absurd about race.
Well, because race is, there are so many different factors. First of all, this skin tone becomes a factor within the African-American community.
Yes.
But did people spot you as African immediately?
I don't know. I think, well, usually I open my mouth and speak and they know that I'm not African-American. But I have been told that I look African. And I can tell increasingly. Initially, I couldn't, the differences between people. But and it's very subtle. It's sometimes just the demeanor of a person. It's, you know, culture leaves stamps on
it. But is it different within the African-American community and the white community here in the United States? In the white community... Did you find yourself just being defined as black?
Well, I think it depended. No, not always. I think there was kind of a... one of the things I find very interesting is how there are many blacks. There are many ways to be black, I think. I became black in America, but it was the kind of black where people would say to me, you're different. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they would say, you don't have issues, which... really what they meant, and I found this deeply offensive because somehow they were saying you're one of the good ones.
Well, maybe they were saying you don't come out of slavery, and so that isn't a legacy that's in the back of your head.
Yes, but I think that it's said in a way that doesn't seem to acknowledge that. Of course, I probably don't have I don't know what these issues are, but I don't have slavery in my... If I had slavery in my background, I probably would have all of those issues.
Although you probably had ancient relatives who were brought over here as slaves.
Yes. I think I'm very interested in the African and African-American connection in the way that really there's a shared history, because African-American history did not start on the slave ship.
Now, I understand there's a film version of Half a Yellow Sun slated to be released this year?
Yes.
What can you tell us about it?
I can tell you it's a wonderful film.
Did you help write it?
No, I wasn't involved at all. I didn't want to be involved in the cutting up of my dear baby. Mm-hmm. But and since my baby has been successfully cut up, I'm happy to say that I enjoyed watching it.
And was it filmed in Nigeria?
It was filmed mostly in Nigeria, yes.
So the all of the wounds of the Biafran War have been healed to some degree?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about healing of wounds. I don't know. I think it's at least we're talking about it more in Nigeria, I think, which is a good thing.
Should I assume there's another book in the works?
I'm waiting for the spirits to speak to me.
Meanwhile, we have this new novel, Americana, with an H at the end. It is Chimamanda's latest book, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and it is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.